Hey everybody, welcome to the Faith Church Podcast. I'm your host, Jay Williams. Joining me today is Christoph Katzbeck.
Hi Jay.
Hi Christoph.
How's it going?
It's going all right.
Good.
Great.
Great.
People may be wondering, why are you filling in for Jeff? And it's because I spoke on friendship and Jeff said, I cannot with integrity have this podcast with you.
That's exactly what he said, yeah.
He was like, I just can't. And so Christoph was like, I mean, I could do it.
Kind of.
There's a sense in which I consider Jay a friend, and I feel like we could talk about friendship.
We'll see how it goes, you know.
He had to spin it, but yeah. Jeff was just like, Jeff has too much Canadian integrity, so he can't.
Speaking of integrity, Jeff, by the way, is just he's camping this week.
Oh, he's on vacation.
Yeah, he's on vacation. So
from our friendship.
That's exactly how he would frame it. Yeah.
So
I'm here. You got me this morning.
Here. And we're flying because we are running late today, so no tomfoolery.
It's been one of those mornings.
I literally just jumped
right
in. My tomfoolery was the comment about Jeff and friendship, and I can't wait for people to say, hey, why aren't you friends with Jay? Or they'll say, I totally get why you're not friends with Jay.
I'm not going to say which one I think is more likely. That would be...
From the crowd that would do that? I think we all know. So, yeah, I got to talk about friendship.
Yeah.
And Proverbs.
Yeah, Proverbs, friendship, which I mean, judging by how the congregation responded to your sermon was very received. It was received. Whether it was well received or... No, I feel like you got...
Wait, one line.
Like during the middle of the sermon, you got a handful of people reacting. It was great.
Yeah, that was not my... It's so funny that you just... I got totally... I think I've never been so caught off guard by a response as when I said that a true friend will always have your back but won't always take your side.
Correct. I think
that hit
that obviously hit and was something that needed to be said. And I think because, so if we go all the way back to the beginning, you made a really, I think it was a good distinction between companionship and friendship, right? So if we are, as Christians, called to be something different than the world, then the way that we are friends probably is going to look different than the way the world has friends. And I think you did a really good job of kind of explaining what the difference is. And so I think for a lot of people, there was a lot of thinking and processing what their experience with other people has been. Because I think in a way, I think we crave that kind of deep friendship. And I think you gave language to what that looks like. You gave language to something that is a desire that maybe there wasn't a way of being able to give language to it before.
You know, I actually had a section that I cut uncovering that deep desire and showing how the world actually wants that and desires that. And that section was about how every story we tell, like in film and books, that's about friendship is a deep friendship that's born through adversity and born through, I don't know. I mean, sometimes I wish there's part of me that wishes I would have kept it in because I think it would have been one. I think it would have been funny, but I think it would have been, I think people would have related that I had something about that. You don't make a movie about two friends who just go on a bike ride and then they go back home and nothing happens.
And they just say, see you later. And then they, well, same thing tomorrow. You
know, or they just sit there and play video games. Like the movies about friendship that stir us, you know, I had like Lord of the Rings, Napoleon Dynamite.
Great.
Beverly Hills Cop. I don't know.
Okay. Like,
like friendship is born out of this journey that people go on together. And what's often the case is that in these movies, it's unlikely friends. Mm-hmm. So we love stories about unlikely friends who go on a journey and kind of deal with adversity together and stick together.
Yes.
Because that's what we want. And we know intuitively that it's not that it's about the friend that sticks, not about the person you have the most in common with or that the conversation flows the easiest, right? Like we know that, but yet we always, we go after companions. So we, in the moment, we want companions, but when adversity hits or whatever, we want true friends. And I wanted to make the point that if you spend all your time, like what I think Proverbs is saying, if you spend all your time just having companions, then when you need a true friend, you won't have them. You'll be alone. And we don't always count the cost of that. We don't think about that enough to say, oh, no, I need the time. So there's so much stuff that I wish I could have gone into. Like the time for friendship to build that is now. It's really when you're in calm waters. That's when you start plant those seeds, and then you see who sticks. And what we tend to do is we don't want to invest in deep friendship until we really need it. And then we're mad at other people for not being, we basically end up getting mad at companions for not being friends. And that's one of the dangers of it is people think if you have a bunch of companions, but you think that they're friends and then they desert you, then that's pretty jarring.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially in times of need. It's funny. You were talking the movie references and my brain immediately went to Toy Story. Yeah. Because Toy Story like 23 is coming out this summer. I think it's 5. But you think of Buzz and Woody and how they actually start off as kind of enemies or whatever, but they go on this journey together with this like mutual love and affection for Andy, and it creates this bond, this friendship that transcends any sort of interest. You know, he's a cowboy, he's a spaceman, you know, it transcends all of that. But that's kind of what we're looking for, is we're looking for that love and care for each other that transcends like hobbies, it transcends interests, it transcends any of those sort of things, so that when the rubber does meet the road, that we've got somebody who is there with us through our journey. And I love, you know, it's funny you said that you cut that out and you wonder about putting it back. I thought you communicated that really well. So I think that was communicated. What does it look like? Because as you're saying that, I'm thinking, and yet still we tend to gravitate towards the easy thing of finding companions. We join the pickleball club. We join, you know, all these different, I don't know why I'm picking on pickleball, but,
CrossFit.
Hey, now, careful. We join all of these clubs, these hobby things. And then we're frustrated when we don't have those friendships. So I think the question that kind of comes from that then is like, how do we pursue, or where do we pursue, or what does it look like to pursue that kind of friendship? When kind of the easy way is towards the companions.
Well, man, every time somebody pointed this out to me, they like, because a couple weeks ago I said, we should do the podcast before the sermon, because
it's like a good primer kind
of
thing.
Yeah, I think like, oh, that's what I should talk about. Toy Story would have been, I mean, Toy Story would have been the best illustration of that, because it was that Buzz and Woody both, they are bonded together by their love for Andy, that ultimately that's the story that's worth them risking their lives for, risking everything for. And that's where you'll find true friends. True friends, you're going to find them when you have this, the thing that you have in common is the thing you're willing to give up anything for, because then that's what causes you to stick. So Buzz and Woody are in this pursuit together, and they value that more than anything else. And so for Christians, those who pursue Christ, those who see the kingdom as a treasure hidden in a field, that's worth everything. If you're friends because of pickleball, at some point, if like there is great adversity with pickleball, you'd be like, well, I'm just not going to play pickleball anymore. And then you don't see each other anymore. Right. Or in CrossFit, you get injured and you're no longer able to do that. And so you just don't see each other anymore, or you stop riding your bike, or your kid ages out of youth sports. Like, there's so many things that happen to companions because those things aren't worth pursuing, at all costs, but Jesus is. And when we have that in common, then we're pursuing this thing as like with everything that we have. And it's the thing that perseveres through season after season after season. Then you have those deep friendships over time, because when we bond over like affinity based stuff, I mean, how many times It happens all the time. Like college friends are friends, and then in a group of friends, you know, one of them gets married, or a couple of them get married, but a couple of them stay single. And then over time, like they don't hang out as much because it's different. And then, you know, then some of them have kids and some don't. And then it just changes and everything, the dynamic changes, or geographically you move or whatever happens and you grow apart. But the friends that remain and that stick are on, they are pursuing Christ in the same, with the same like level of desire and intensity.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, I think is why sometimes our church friends, we think of that as church friends, but that's not church friends. Like, these are Christ-centered friends, and that's different. And you can be arguably the most let down and the most disappointed by a church friend because you assume something about them that may not be the case, because not everybody that goes to church is radically surrendered to Christ.
Well, I mean, church can be just as much of an affinity as other things sometimes, right? And
for
so
sure.
We absolutely have, you know, I see that in youth ministry all the time, where we have students who make really good friends with youth group friends. In any sort of youth group event, there's connection and time hanging out, but it doesn't necessarily stick. And it's funny because, like, I feel like I've had that. I had a really, you know, back in youth group, when I was in youth group, I have a group of friends who I was really close to, and some of them have stuck and some of them have not. You know, it's funny you even bring up the college and the wedding thing, but because there's been a couple weddings recently, I've noticed, I don't know if this is a trend or not, or if this is just bias because of the weddings I've been at, but they've had larger wedding parties, like really large wedding parties of groomsmen and bridesmaids. And Sarah and I had a larger one, but I've thought about the fact that almost every one of the friends that I had stand up in my wedding, when I asked them to stand up in my wedding, I was like, oh man, these are some of my closest friends. And I think the only ones that I still talk to are the ones that are my family, are the siblings. And what's funny is the friends during that period that were not a part of our wedding, that I would not have thought would be close friends still are. Still the ones that I'll call up every once in a while, we'll text frequently. The friendship has stuck over, you know, a couple decades of life now at this point, mainly because it's always Christ-centered. It's not necessarily affinity based. It's because there's like, oh man, I'm wrestling through this thought with Christ, or I could use prayer for this, and it's all centered around that journey, that love. You know, if you go back to the Toy Story analogy, that love for Andy, that love for the Lord, and our desire to pursue Him.
Well, yeah, and in even after a long time. I mean, I was just thinking about my wedding party, and there's one of them that I still talk to. And I mean, I have a wedding where I was like the best man, and I don't talk. We were in each other's weddings, and
right.
We don't talk anymore. I would totally talk to him if I saw him. Like, if he moved to Marinette, like, we would totally hang out. But I think that a reason why, I mean, some of that, the larger party is when they're younger, then they have all those, you know, those friends and all that happens. But one of the things that happens over time is even when you haven't talked to somebody for a long time, if they are also pursuing Jesus, then you are being formed in the same direction.
Mm.
So there's a commonality. That's why when people say, oh, we picked up, like, we just, you know, like we hadn't missed a beat. Well, that happens when you're going on the same trajectory in the same direction. Now, that can happen with something outside of Christianity. You know, you could have been friends on the tennis team, and then you both continued to play tennis, you know, and now you're in a, you know, an old man's tennis league, and you'd have a lot to talk about because you kept that interest. But there are so many things, like so many things that I was friends with people over, like in high school and college, that I don't do anymore. I'm not interested in anymore. And if they continue, if that was what our friendship was about, then we would talk and be like, we don't have anything to talk about because we are totally different people. But in Christ, we're actually being formed by the same Lord. Like, so in essence, it'd be like if you still have, if you had a best friend in common. Like, if there were three of you and one of them, the two people on the ends were still connected to the one with them in the middle, but the two on the ends hadn't talked in a long time. Well, if they're still friends with the person in the middle, then chances are if they got together, they'd be like, oh yeah, well, 'cause you're, you know, you'd probably have some of the same inside jokes and some of the same language. The point of all that is, what's sad to me is what often happens in the church is people will point to their real friends being like what they would call like their true friends or their closest relationships, would be blood relatives, whether or not they're in the church, whether or not they follow Jesus. And then often people outside of the church who they spend the most time with. That's the part that I wish I could have gotten across a little bit more too when I talked about the geography, was that the reason why so many people say, well, my closest friends aren't in the church, is because you're spending way more time in those other places. So by definition, like, you're proving the point that the people that you're around the most are the people you are going to have the deepest friendships with. Then if who you're around the most are people who are following Jesus, well, then those are going to be the deepest of friendships that Proverbs is talking about. And the problem that a lot of people have is they assume like, oh, I'll go to small group once a week, and then that'll build like that'll build these deep friendships. Well, it certainly going and bonding over Christ or worshiping together for an hour or hour and a half with other people will bond you in a more powerful way. That'll be a more powerful hour, you know, than if you were playing pickleball for an hour. But if that's all you do is occasionally, and then the extent of it is we say hi, we maybe have a quick catch up conversation, then you're not, but you're at the ball fields every night, you know, at the soccer field or at the baseball field, or you're, you know, hunting or you're fishing or you're wherever you are every day, then those are going to be the people that you are the most comfortable around because you spend the most time in. And that's part of what Proverbs is saying. Like, the person that's near, geographically close, that you cross paths with a lot, they are going to be more, they're more valuable than somebody that you feel close to, but they're far away and you don't see them very often.
Yeah. I mean, we are, yes, man. It's so true that we are formed towards and formed by that which we spend the most amount of time with. And yeah, I don't think we necessarily take the, that's where it gets, I don't say tricky, but like, we got to, you know, put things in the right spots is we're not saying that affinity based things are bad. If anything, some of those moments where, you know, and I have to remind myself of this, like, I get invited to go and do something with somebody that I would not normally go out of my way to do, I should go and do it. If I see it is worth it, if it's somebody from the church family or somebody who's trying to follow Jesus and they invite me to this thing, to go and do it, not just for the love of the affinity, go and do the affinity. That thing should point you and help help be a catalyst towards the ultimate thing, which is a good, healthy friendship. And sometimes we skip out on that because, you know, we skip away from the affinity thing because we're like, well, I don't enjoy that thing, not realizing that that thing is actually then controlling what we do or don't do, if that makes sense. So then I guess that goes all the way back to the question then of like, what would you say, and maybe you did say this in the message, I confess to you off the microphone that I dipped out for like the last 10 minutes, so this might be one of those, maybe you did talk a little bit about this or my brain's failing me on it, is how then do we pursue these Christ-centered friendships? So somebody's listening right now, they're saying, okay, I want that, but I'm really wrestling with how to pursue that. What would you tell them are really good first steps in pursuing those kind of friendships?
Yeah, I explained that perfectly in the last 10 minutes.
I'm sure you did, with like 3 points.
It was the best 10 minutes I'd ever communicated. So you should listen to that.
Okay, I will. I will.
Kidding.
School me, come on.
So I actually feel like that was part of the lacking. I said it kind of at the end of one thing I said was stop being so picky. So we, in an era where we feel like the internet makes us feel like we can find our friendship soulmate because you see Instagram, you know, versions of friends going and doing this thing. And so if I can just find the people who love to do all the same things and think all the same things, like, those would be my best friends. And the internet makes me feel like that's possible. And it's not. Right. It's very similar to what we've seen in the whole like dating scene for singles, is that the internet introduced the idea that you can find the perfect person. Because anywhere in the world, like you can find them anywhere in the world, where I use the illustration of how my mom said when I asked her how she knew my dad was the one, and she said there were only two choices and the other one was in jail. And I think like there's something beautiful about that. There's something beautiful. You know, I'll give you an example. When we did house churches in Colorado, we'd have like 20 people in our church. It grew. Sometimes we had up to 50 people in our house, like in our house church. And then we'd have multiple house churches. But when you're just hanging out with those people, there were no men's groups, because the men in that house church were the guys. And so when we did a men's group, it was all the guys. And if you weren't there, they'd be like, "Hey, Jay, where are you? Like, we're all here."
Right.
There's something about that. And these were not, it was the oddest gathering of people. And so getting like understanding that, okay, the people who are around me, the people I cross paths with, like if I just filtered and said, who do I cross paths with a lot who loves Jesus? Well, start there. Start spending some extra time with that person. And then start sharing a little bit. Now, they may not reciprocate. They may not reciprocate because their bandwidth, they don't have enough bandwidth. They already have deep friendships and they don't have room for more. What the enemy will do then at that point is say to you, like, well, see, this is why you shouldn't try. This is why you shouldn't, you know, spend time, or why you shouldn't ask people to do things. But that's the enemy. That's not Jesus. I don't think, you know, if we could just realize that we don't need 100 deep friends. And so if we trust God that he's giving us the gift of friendship, then look and receive the gift. Otherwise, sometimes I have seen people where I'm watching them and I'm thinking, you guys should just be friends. Why are you not friends? You both are looking for friends. You both love Jesus. You both live in the same area, and they still won't spend time together. They won't. And I don't always know why. I mean, maybe it's a fear of rejection. Maybe it's they think the other person's socially awkward. And I'm like, well, you both are. So then be like, yeah. I didn't say this in the sermon because I was filtering it out, but yeah. Socially awkward people make the best friends. They really do, because they're not used to, they will be way more intensely focused on the friendship, and they're not the one who goes and can have really good small talk with 100 people. They're the one that's just going to sit there, but they'll have one conversation, and that one conversation, like those are the people in my life, the people who, when things have been hard, the people who have stepped up the most are the people who you would not say are the most socially adept.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because they just do it. And so stop. I'm like, so that was one of the things, was just stop being picky. Look around in your life and say, who do I cross paths? That's actually how I found my closest friend. That's still the one guy in my wedding party, who I still talk to, who's still one of my closest friends. In high school, I felt totally alone. I had no friends. I was following Jesus. I didn't know anybody else who was following Jesus. I had a lot of companions, but I had no deep friendships. And I was given this counsel of like, well, who do you cross paths with a lot who loves Jesus? And I looked around and there was one guy. But I'd always dismissed it because we were a year apart in school, which is so funny now, like a year apart. Can you imagine if someone who's 50 was like, well, but they're 49. I don't like that. But when you're in school, that feel, and especially at a big high school, that feels like different. Those are barriers. I also thought like he was like the star athlete. And I was not at that point. Like, we weren't playing the same sports. I had already, like, we were not. And the only time we'd really ever interacted was when we were, like, in junior high, when we were kind of more rivals. And I put rivals in quotes.
Sure,
that means
yeah.
that his team always destroyed me. Like, he was the...
One-sided rivals.
Right.
Yeah.
So I was like, and we'd been around. And so here was one of the lies I bought into. We'd been around each other enough that I was like, well, then I guess like, yeah, we just didn't click. And I honestly don't remember. I wish he was here right now. I don't remember which one of us said to the other one, we should be friends. It was the weirdest conversation. Oh, I know, because he was talking about how he felt.
Did you have a like a, what is it, the DTR, define the relationship? You had a DTR with your buddy.
He was talking about how he felt like, man, I just don't feel like I have any good friends like to help me follow Jesus. He was talking about that at youth group one time. We were in youth group together.
Yeah.
And I just went over to him and I was like, we should be friends.
Yeah.
Why are we not friends? And then we started hanging out and we hung out all the time.
Oh, that's awesome. I love
that. And we still like their kids are like my nieces, you know, like I adore them. And
right. Yeah.
So that was a deep lifelong friendship. And through him, I was connected with another deep friendship that, you know, his friend in college, his best friend in college became one of my like closest friends. And point to say, and then they're the ones that when my mom was diagnosed with cancer, which is interesting because this kind of refutes the proverb about the brother far away, like better as a neighbor.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
My neighbors helped a lot when that happened, for sure.
Yeah.
And our house church helped a ton. But what also happened was those two guys jumped in a car. They lived in Iowa and jumped in a car and drove out to Colorado.
Wow. Yeah.
Without even asking. They texted me from somewhere in Nebraska saying, we're on our way. Wow. Like they didn't even give me the choice. They just were on our way. And so the point being is that sometimes you have to take risks. You have to say to somebody, like what I would recommend is look around, find people that you cross paths with a lot who follow Jesus, and then test the waters. Sorry. Test the waters. Say, share something that God is teaching you or something that you could use prayer for. You don't have to share like your deepest, darkest secret, but to say to another Christ follower, hey, I've been struggling in this area. Would you pray for me this week and see what they do? And if they come back to you and they say, hey, how is that thing going? I prayed for you this week. Then say, you know, whatever, tell them how it's going and then ask like, hey, can I pray for you with something? And then ask like, could we grab lunch sometime? And if the people respond, then you say, then just keep investing in that. And don't worry about, well, do we both enjoy the same hobbies or do we both enjoy, that's not what's going to give you the kind of friendship that you actually desire. Going back to the whole movie thing, it's not going to give you the thing that you actually desire. What's going to give you the thing you want is the friendship that's formed in Christ, because you both have the same best friend. Like you both have the same friend who has redeemed us, and now you have that together, and then that's how a friendship will grow. And I just see so many people just like milling around, not connecting. They're all like, it's fear, it's lack of awareness, lack of whatever it is. But it's wild. You know this, like we have, and you see it in youth ministry all the time.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Everybody thinks they're the only one that doesn't have friends.
Oh my goodness, yes, yeah.
Everybody, and it doesn't change as you get older.
Hang out, just right. you hang out.
Right.
Yeah.
But then we'll go like, oh, well, but they don't do that. Like, stop it, stop. That's what I mean by stop being picky.
Yeah, yep.
Do they love Jesus? Do you see them a lot?
That's exactly. That's
probably who God is giving you as a friend.
Well, and so what I love, and you did this in the sermon, and I think just even through those explanations, those three things that you gave, to me, it models, and it's still amazing to me that God himself would take on flesh, you know, just the whole gospel story. But like, we have God himself as a model for what friendship looks like, because Jesus walked among us, took on people with him, lived with them for years, and we see how he interacts with them. And I'm struck by just filtering, reading through the stories of how Jesus interacted with the disciples, interacted with those he came across, interacted with how he interacted with them, and how he modeled friendship. And so I hear that, you know, like he called upon people that would have never been expected to be called upon, fishermen, tax collectors, and said, you know, come and follow me. That was his close circle. They were people who were abrasive, and he had to every once in a while call out on things. And yet he loved them deeply and profoundly. I'm still struck by one thing that I've I feel like has been stuck in my brain the last couple of months has just been the two stories of Judas and Peter, and just how he still washed the feet of Judas knowing that he was going to betray him. Like, he still loved him and modeled that. And he still loved Peter despite knowing he loved Peter so much despite knowing that he would deny him in his darkest, most difficult moments. And so when I think about Jesus being the model of what it looks like to be a friend, I think of that. I think of, yeah, not being picky. You had mentioned not being offendable, right? Like, and that's what friends do. Like, I can't count the times with my really good friends where I have had a moment where I have said something boneheaded and they've had to kind of call me out on it. And I needed to have a posture of humility and being able to be like, yeah, that I needed to hear that. I had that multiple times. I had a really good group of friends in college, and I had that happen multiple times where I'm thankful that they felt like they could speak to me in that way. And God had me in a season of life where I was able to receive that. And then just that, you mentioned this, that intersection of those who are faithfully trying to follow Jesus. And I wonder, with the disciples, you know, had Jesus not called them, would their lives have ever intersected? You know, would Matthew have hung out with Andrew, or you know what I mean? Like, Judas hung out with John, or would those lives have ever intersected had it not been for this mutual following and love for Jesus? Probably not, right? So it kind of revolves around that. Jesus is then the fulfillment and the perfect picture for us to look at as to what it looks like to be a good friend and to seek good friends.
The clear answer is no, they wouldn't. They would not have been friends.
Yeah.
Never in a million years. And the early church wouldn't have existed anywhere outside of the power of the Holy Spirit. Like, I mentioned this many times, I feel like, in the last year or so, that we have no concept for how difficult it was, how many social barriers were being completely broken down in the gathering of any given house church across the first century church.
Yeah.
Jews, Gentiles, rich, poor, male, female, slave, owner, or slave and master. I mean, it's striking. And that they are being told, you're not just members of the same religion, that you are responsible for each other. And that you are required to love one another and care for each other and treat each other as families. He even says that to masters about their slaves. This is like, our biggest political divides have got nothing on that. And yet they were deep friends. And we can look back at the disciples and think of them as this band of brothers. You had people who hated each other.
Right.
Like, I cannot even imagine. I mean, we don't have many accounts of that, but you just know. I mean, Matthew as a tax collector would have been hated by Simon the Zealot. Like, are you kidding me? There's just no way they would have been friends. But in Christ, they are. It is like a Buzz and Woody. You know, see, I should have definitely passed this off, or all of this, to you and have you give me the film illustration. And I think, so like, that's, don't judge friendships the way the world does. That's a big thing about that. And what I wish I would have wrapped it up with, the application, now that I'm thinking about it, is the week before, last week, I talked about how we're formed in Proverbs, like how wisdom is formed in us, and how it's heart, heart, hands, head. So first, do you see it and want it? Like, do you desire it? Then if you do, then walk in faithful obedience, and then you'll understand. And this would have been a perfect example. I don't know why I'm so dumb. I don't know why I didn't point that out, but this would have been a great example of, you can read stuff and you can think about it, but you don't know until you experience it. And you don't understand it. You don't understand any of this stuff of what the Bible says about friendship until you experience it. And then you're like, oh, okay, now I see when the day of calamity hits and I see that who are the people that stuck and who are the people who didn't, who is most helpful, all these different things. But so the question is just like, do you want that friendship? There are a lot of people who are just fine with companions, and then Proverbs becomes a warning to them. So there are a lot of people who prefer companions because they don't want anybody getting into their business. They don't want to feel that responsible. They're happy just playing volleyball together. They're happy just, you know, going to the bowling alley.
Pickleball, man.
Playing pickleball. And they're content with that, and they don't want anything more. You can't make somebody want something that they don't want. So that I see that happen a lot, where people are like, get burned on friendships because they're trying to have a friendship with somebody where they're just like, I want companions. Like, I want to hang out when the Packers are playing, and then I don't. So if you don't want it, you're not going to have it. But if you do want it, then the next step is the hands part. It's the obedience part. So then obey Christ and trust him. So spend time around people who follow him. Like, that's part of why we're doing the greenhouses and everything. Like, be immersed in it. When people tell me right now that, like, well, I don't have time, and I get it. People always come up with an exception to the rule and say, well, what about the person that, like, yes, there are legitimate reasons why somebody can't be in a greenhouse on Wednesday night. Those reasons are few. The legitimate reasons are few, but they do exist. That's not my point. My point is, if you just think about your week of 168 hours in a week, and this is, again, going back to what we're talking about with spiritual formation, but it works with friendship too, because that's where these friendships are formed. We're saying give four of those hours to this consistently. Be with people consistently. And when I say four, I'm talking about 2 hours on Sunday morning. I'm telling you, if you come 15 minutes early on Sunday morning and you leave, and you plan on leaving, you think about church ending 15 minutes later than it does, then your interactions will go up by a factor of 10. You will see people that you'll be like, you know, I see them every, I come at 9:15 every Sunday morning. When we come and we walk through there at 9:15, there, some of the same people are there in the same places.
Yep.
You could have a deep conversation. You could have a deep 10-minute, 15-minute conversation with the same person every week because they're there in the same place every week. And like, this isn't a, like, I hope people don't hear this as like a shaming, like, of just, well, why don't you just do this? I'm just saying, if you really want it, like, these are the ways to be obedient. Be present, be available, be consistent. Notice who's around you, who you keep crossing paths with, who seem to be following Jesus in the way that you're trying to follow Jesus, and then just press more into it. And then you'll start to understand, like, what this friendship looks like. So that would be my...
I love it.
That should have been the conclusion.
Well, whoever listens to the podcast will now get the conclusion.
They'll get the real conclusion.
Yeah, they'll get the real deal.
But they won't get the one-liner that...
No.
I literally wrote in my notes, because I said, oh, 1 for 10. And I literally wrote that in my notes.
I saw you.
So I'm going to write that down.
Yeah, you got to take the wins, man. You got to take the wins while you can get them.
Biggest win ever. Well, I do hope that it was helpful. I hope that this podcast has been helpful. And friendship is certainly not something you can do alone. I want to just throw that out there. I mentioned it in the sermon a little bit, but if you need help, or I think it was in the benediction, but if you need help making friends, maybe you're a person who you say, man, every time I try to make friends, it never works. Like, I don't know what it is. What is it, something about me? We can meet with you. We can help you in that. We will gently help you see, like, who Christ has made you to be and who he's calling you to be and what a sanctified and redeemed version of that look like. And we want you to have friends. And so we've helped people with that before. And I don't take that lightly. Like, for some people, it's really natural to go up to somebody and talk to them or whatever. And for other people, that is terrifying. And they don't even know why they seem like, some people feel like they just repel people and they don't know why. And they wish like somebody like would tell them what's going on. And we can help with that. And if you're looking for friends, if you're just needing some help in that, then in any way, let us know. If you feel like you're inclined and gifted towards friendship because you just really love being with people and spending time with people, and you have a heart for people who struggle with that, let us know. Because we love matchmaking. Like we will definitely tell you like, hey, why don't you go talk to this person and hang out with them? So if that's you and you're wired to do that, then let us know as well so that we can have a culture of friendship. I would love it if everybody in our church, that if you could just throw a Nerf ball out there and whoever caught it or got hit in the head with it, that's why it's a Nerf ball.
We should do that.
If you said, hey, do you have deep, some, you know, a few deep, meaningful friendships, that they would say, yes, I do. Like, that would be amazing. I would love that. So, reach out to us. You can email us at connect@faithpestrico.com or talk to us on a Sunday. We hope that this podcast has been helpful. We appreciate you taking the time to listen. Till next time, grace and peace.